Fine. No. All right. I just wanted to record it in case somebody missed out and wanted to be part of what's happening here today. There is extra seats here if you find that the stones are a bit much and you want to... there's extra seats there. If you're having trouble hearing me, feel free to move over closer. We won't look at you funny. Let's pray as we come to hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings that we are enjoying this very moment. We particularly thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word. And we pray now that as we come to hear from it, that you might speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, help and enable me to proclaim the excellencies of Christ faithfully and fully. And we pray, Lord, that you might give us ears to hear. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Today we are here to worship God, to witness God saving a man. We're here to encourage and build one another up. Now, as we witness this man being baptized momentarily, we are witnessing a man entering into a covenant with God. I don't know if you've ever thought about baptism like this before, but it is a sign and a seal of being joined to God and part of his new covenant people. Back in the day, well, in fact, throughout history, God has always related to people through covenants. One of the most famous covenants that we know is the covenant that God entered into with Abraham. And he said to Abraham that you will be my person. I will save you out of your idolatry, out of your pagan worship. I will be your God. And he made many promises to Abraham, including a promised land for his descendants, that he would make a great name of him, that he would be the God of his descendants. And so covenants have a seal. If you are married, you can look at your hand and you can see the seal of the gold band around your finger, which symbolizes the covenant that you've entered into. If you were a king and you entered into a treaty or a pact with another nation, you might seal the pact with the royal seal to demonstrate that it is there, that it is true, that it is good. One of the seals that God used was the seal of circumcision, which he used with Abraham when he entered into a covenant with him. Abraham was given this covenant in his flesh, and every male of his house was to take that sign so that generation after generation, they would have the sign of being in covenant with God in their flesh. This circumcision was a sign of God's promises that they knew because it was part of their very physical body. It was remembered. They remembered God's promises because they had received the seal, the sign. This sign was part of being obedient to God. Because they had become united to God, it was a matter of obedience to take the sign. It was a physical and demonstration to the world, to one another, that he and his descendants belonged to God. And this old covenant, the covenant of Abraham, pointed forward to a new and better covenant, one that would be made without hands and not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in Christ. This new covenant would have circumcision, but no longer a circumcision of the flesh. It was something spiritual, a circumcision of the heart. And it's not something that we would do to ourselves, but it's something that Christ would do, that he would circumcise our hearts. Because after all, under the old covenant, there were a great many failures. And even though the people took the sign of belonging to God, many of them were disloyal to God and wandered away from him and rebelled against him. So God made a promise that he would overcome the unfaithfulness of his people. He would overcome their wandering, would overcome their proclivity to forget him or to be distracted by the other gods of the world and go and worship them. He would overcome their weakness, the way that they would go to worship God and to serve God, but they would do it externally and not by the heart. He would overcome all of the barriers that would be between God and man. God promises that he will circumcise the hearts of his people. And this is what happens when we become Christians. In fact, if you look in verse 11 of Colossians chapter 2, it says, "In him," being in Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In Christ, we are given the sign of the new covenant. We're brought into it, but it's a covenant with better promises. Christ says, "You are mine and I will set you apart." Christ calls his people to turn away from their previous life of vanity, to put on a new self. Christ calls us to turn away from our life of rebellion against him, of our sin, to turn away from our alcoholism, to turn away from our drugs, from pornography, from partying, turn away from the Tinder hookups. He calls us to turn away from our perpetual lying and our cheating, even our cheating on our taxes. He calls you to give up your self-righteousness and your pride. God calls you to give up on the way that you have failed to love those around you as yourself, and the way that you have failed to love him as the first and greatest aim of your life. He will take you and he will make you a new person. He will cleanse your guilt. He will wash away the filth of your sin if you only come to Christ. If you come to Christ, he will cleanse your guilt. He will wash away the filth of your sin. He will make you a new person. He will circumcise your heart. You are called to take up this new life, one free from the slavery of sin, one free from slavery to your base passions. In Christ, we put off the old way. We put off the old you. We put off what is sometimes in the spiritual language of the New Testament called the flesh. God made you in a body. Your body is good. But as we know, much of the sin that we commit is in the body, right? And so sometimes the flesh is described as language is used to describe what is against God, because in our sinful body, in a world that is cursed, the flesh is the thing that gets in the road. And so in the language of the New Testament, often the flesh is described as this body of sin. And you're called in Christ to put off the body of sin, to put off the flesh, and to put on your new identity in Christ. And you know what? I don't have any more notes. I printed it out wrong. We are called in Christ to turn to him. Him in whom the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And so Christ will come and circumcise your hearts with a circumcision made without hands, putting off that old self, that old body, the flesh, with this new spiritual circumcision of Christ. And this was the seal in the Old Testament, the circumcision. But in the new covenant, we are given a seal again. We are given a new seal, a new sign, the sign of baptism. That shows when you enter into it that you have taken on Christ. It's an outward sign of what Christ does. It's an outward sign of the cleansing that we receive in Christ. It's an outward sign of receiving the Holy Spirit in Christ. And as our passage says, it's an outward sign of being buried with Christ with baptism and raised with him to newness of life. And that's why we like to do this in the river, because we have the sign, the visual display of somebody going down into the water as if they're buried with Christ, and coming up once more as if they are raised to new life in Christ. Having been buried with him, buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he went through a similar thing. He went through it on our behalf. He died. Not only did he take the sign of baptism, he went and died for our sins, and he was raised again from the dead because death had no hold on him. So why did he die for sins? Well, because we have committed many sins against him. We are dead in our trespasses, as it says in verse 13. You who were dead in your trespasses, God wants to make alive. And he does it by taking away sin. Because sin is a little bit like, it's a little bit like a credit card, right? Because when you use a credit card, I'm not saying credit cards are sinful, but just follow the imagery here. When you use a credit card, you spend money that's not yours. You're taking something that's not yours and you're using it, right? In the context of a credit card, it's on the provisor that you pay it back. But with God, when we sin, we're doing something that's not ours to do. We're taking something that's not ours to take. We're taking liberty. We're taking independence of God. We're taking pride. We're rebelling against God in our sin. And we have now a debt against God. Because in our sin, we've rebelled against God and there is a punishment for sin. We know that when a criminal commits a crime, that there should be a commensurate punishment for that crime. You steal it, you have to give it back and pay back some more maybe. You commit some other crime that there's no restitution to be made, we're going to lock you up. We're going to lock you up for a time to deprive you of your freedom as a way to give you a consequence for your actions. We understand that there is a payment that needs to be made for sin, for rebelling. So what about between us and God? How are we going to repay God for the way that we've sinned against him, the way that we have transgressed him, the way that we have been unloving and actually hateful towards him? Well, we can try and do it ourselves and suffer the punishment ourselves, but God, because of the way that he loves us, desires to bring us to himself. And the only way that we can overcome the debt that we have against him is for him to deal with it, for him to pay the debt. And so he sent into the world his son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect one who would take your place, who would die in your place for your sins, and who would triumph over death, so that all that who are in him might triumph over death with him, as those who are freed from their sins. God has forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. The legal demand was that you should die. That you should die and suffer for your sins, but this he set aside, nailing it to the cross in Jesus Christ, who became sin for us. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Satan no longer can accuse those who are in Christ. They are toothless. In Christ, you are brought into Christ. You are united to him in his death, so that you can also be united to him in his resurrection, buried with him so that you might also be raised with him as he was raised from the dead. And so, as we come here this morning to enter the waters of baptism, here we see played out the imagery of someone having their sins taken away. We see the imagery of someone being united to Christ in his death and burial, and united to Christ in your resurrection. We see the picture written out of somebody receiving the Holy Spirit, being cleansed in every way and united to God. Just as the old circumcision set you apart and said, I'm in God's covenant, the baptism that you will see sets this man apart as I belong to God. It says to the world, anybody driving along the road up here, it says to all of you sitting here as brothers and sisters in Christ, it says to the spiritual realm who is watching on at this moment, it says, I belong to God. I'm off the market. I'm no longer up for grabs. I belong to God. I have been united to Christ. When you go down into that water and you come up again, Satan has no claim on you. You're free. Free, free, forever made free, as we sing. Free from the accusations, free from the guilt. You are free from the sin which you have committed. You are free from death. Death has no sting. And so even though we will still, many of us still suffer a physical death, it's not eternal. It's a momentary thing. Like Jesus, who died for 3 days and rose again, our physical bodies will be resurrected and we will stand before the Lord one day on Judgment Day. But the question then that God will ask as he judges is, are you one of my children or do you stand against me? There's no other option. It's in God's house as one under his covenant, or there are those who stand against him. And those who are in his house, those who are united with Christ, will be seated with him in the heavenly places, who will share his throne, who will receive his crown, who will join him as he rules and reigns over a new heaven and a new earth. So even though this is somewhat ritualistic this morning, as we do something that we've done before, as many of you have experienced before, even though it's somewhat, it's very ordinary, but it is a sign of something extraordinary, something amazing that is happening. We see here a sign, an outward sign. We see here a reminder of the promises having been received. We see here a sign of the sin being washed away, of the Spirit filling. But from here, there is somewhere to go. God doesn't just save us and then walk away and leave us. He desires that we should live a new life in him. And so then in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So, those you who have received the sign, who have been buried with Christ in baptism, put off the old man, put on the new. You've been raised with Christ, so seek the things of Christ. Walk with him, serve him, be faithful to him. And you can rest assured that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. So put to death what is earthly in you. Flee sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness and idolatry. God is coming to judge these things. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And although you once walked in them, although they used to be your identity, you must put them all away. Do not live in them any longer. You must put them all away with anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, patience, bearing with one another, and if any has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. For as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs like we have done this morning, and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you unite us to Christ, that you give us the sign, the circumcision of our hearts, and you bring us into your kingdom. Lord, as we see the outward sign being played out here before us, we pray, Lord, that you might do the spiritual reality of cleansing, of giving the Spirit, of burying with Christ and raising in new life. We thank you, Lord, that you have joined us to Christ in such a way that his death is our death and his life is our life, that his inheritance is our inheritance, and that his victory over death is our victory and triumph over death. We thank you that you have disarmed the powers and principalities. We thank you, Lord, that power's off the market. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you are making a people for yourself by circumcising their hearts. And we pray, Lord, for 1,000 more, that you would bring more and more and more of your people out of the world and help them to put off the old self and put on the new self in Christ. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd invite Pau to make his way up here. We're going to get started.